The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice.
Sweaty and pissed, menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.
Oh, hello, my darling.
Hi, welcome everybody. How are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm Karen Nickel, nurse practitioner.
Leanne Morgan, comedian.
And this is Sweaty and Pissed, Menopause and More. Way more.
Way more. Mm-hmm. You smart thing.
Yeah.
We're going to talk today about how to help somebody by using hormones.
Right.
Replacement. Right.
From a systemic standpoint.
Okay.
Because we talked about, how to use hormones for vaginal dryness, using vaginal estrogen and then all the non-hormonal options we have for vaginal dryness. And we did get a question from one of our Facebook listeners who was wondering, well, will it help to do systemic hormones to help with the vaginal dryness and fix other symptoms as well? So this certainly is a topic that we'll probably talk about on more than one episode, but we thought we'd start that conversation today.
Okay.
And talk about all our options and how it will help with all your symptoms. So, in the last episode, we talked about the long list of symptoms you can get with hormone imbalance, and many of them happen when we're in perimenopause, where estrogen and progesterone get imbalanced. Typically, we have really quite high estrogen and very low progesterone, and it creates a syndrome we call estrogen dominance. And so many of those symptoms are because of estrogen dominance. And so in that particular case, we're mostly using progesterone replacement in those women and some over-the-counter supplements to lower estrogen.
Yes.
So okay. So we narrow that gap. So progesterone can be replaced with either capsules or creams, or we can use a compounded product called troches, which are little lozenges that you dissolve under your tongue or in the buccal cavity, which is that little pocket in your cheek. So those are the main ways we do it. We can do vaginal progesterone, a vaginal progesterone cream. Some people absorb that much better that way. So there are a lot of options, especially if you're using a compounded product. And again, for the listeners who might be tuning in for the first time, compounded hormones are made up by a compounding pharmacist based on the specifications and prescriptions from your practitioner. So there are a lot of forms which they can use to get that hormone to you. So we would use progesterone to replace, obviously, your low progesterone. And the progesterone we would use, that I typically use for women, I always use for women, is bioidentical, which means it's molecularly identical to your progesterone that you would make from your ovary. And then we use things like milk thistle caps and diindole methylyl, which is abbreviated DIM, D-I-M as in Mary, and either one of those can help clear extra estrogen, especially from the liver. So we can really balance the estrogen progesterone better.
And the milk thistle, you put me on milk thistle, mm-hmm. DIM, and I have a progesterone capsule. Mm-hmm. And so they know progesterone's the good, makes you feel good.
Yes.
And when you don't have that, you don't feel good. You feel heavy. You don't want to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Don't sleep.
Don't sleep, because that relax progesterone.
You get very moody.
Moody. Mm-hmm. Oh, murder.
Yeah, progesterone is our mood stabilizing hormone, our sleep promoting hormone. It helps us burn fat. It is our natural diuretic, meaning it helps get rid of retained fluid. It is, increases our sex drive. And from a safety standpoint, the important thing about progesterone is it slows cell growth in the sex organs because it matures the cell after estrogen has stimulated the growth of the cell within the cycle. That's a little complicated. But your estrogen stimulates cell growth in the sex organs, and progesterone slows and matures the cell. So it's very important in terms of balancing the stimulatory effects of estrogen.
So, which could do what? I mean,
so if you have an abnormal, for instance, if you have an abnormal breast cell,
okay,
say a breast cell has become unhealthy, and you have an estrogen and a progesterone receptor on that cell. And so when estrogen, specifically estradiol, attaches to that estrogen receptor on that cell, it makes it grow.
Okay.
And progesterone, when it attaches to its progesterone receptor, shrinks and matures the cell. So if we have too much estrogen influence or estrogen dominant, we're going to have more stimulation of breast tissues, breast cells, normal and abnormal.
Okay.
So hormones don't make cancers, but the estrogen could stimulate the growth of an abnormal precancerous cell.
Okay. So progesterone's the good one.
Right. And there is a book, and I put it on the book list on our website, that Dr. John Lee wrote, called What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Breast Cancer. And he speaks in depth about progesterone and its beneficial effects on specifically breast tissue. So if you want to get a much more detailed information about that, it's a really good book. It's not a medical textbook, but it is a little medically dense. But it's a very good book and can explain a lot about the effects of our hormones on our breast tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes for ovarian and uterine tissue. Estrogen stimulates it. Like if we have too much estrogen, we become estrogen dominant. We'll develop fibroids and cysts on the ovaries and thickened lining, so we get heavy periods, painful periods, increased PMS. Not that estrogen's the bad guy. It's not a bad hormone, but it just does all that stimulatory work. So if you don't have progesterone that puts the brakes on that,
mm-hmm.
we have all those symptoms and problems. So
okay. But you put me on it. I remember milk thistle and uh-huh. just urinating all day, but that keeps you from retaining fluid.
Yeah. Yeah, because estrogen tells us to
hold on.
Store fat and fluid because it's trying to get us ready for pregnancy. And you need extra fluid to build blood volume when you become pregnant. You know, you gain 25% more blood while you're pregnant. So that is all, it's all doing what it's supposed to do, but unfortunately it goes a little haywire oftentimes in perimenopause. And we'll talk about on another episode what happens when it goes haywire in even younger women in their, you know, teens, 20s, and 30s. So,
okay.
Like things like PCOS.
And, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we do with, mostly for perimenopausal women. Also, testosterone can be low during that time period. So sometimes we replace testosterone. And testosterone helps us with spatial analytical thinking, decision-making, sense of self-confidence, self-assuredness, physical stamina, muscle mass, bone mass, sex drive.
Oh, Lord.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. If you don't
right,
have
Leanne?
All that, yeah. And I didn't. Mine was zero, wasn't it? I mean, mine was very low.
Yeah.
So you put me on a testosterone cream,
mm-hmm.
which I would like to have more.
Okay.
I would
like
to have better thinking. Yes. But that is a good one.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any.
Yeah. A lot of women who are especially, and not that it has, you have to be a businesswoman to feel this, but I hear this from my patients who are business people, that they feel like they lose their edge, their game. They're not on their game when they start losing testosterone. It's that important.
Okay, let me ask you this real quick as a side note. What mm-hmm. about men? Same thing?
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they're losing their edge?
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, because a lot of times when men are losing testosterone, the first things that they will notice are, you know, not feeling on their game, irritability, depression. They get more mood symptoms usually long before they lose sex drive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's usually the last to go.
Yeah.
And at 50, men have about half the testosterone level they have at 20.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it naturally falls, you know. But the mood symptoms are often the first signs of a dropping testosterone level in men.
Okay. Yeah, we went through that. And then Chuckina mm-hmm. started feeling frisky. I thought, he's never not felt frisky.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a little time in there where I was able to be left alone, frankly. And then they came back and I went, what have you done to him? And you said, Lynn, he's played tennis. And he's playing tennis and he's active and he's built it up himself again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exercise thought, will really help the test.
I thought I'm hiding that tennis bag.
Did you break his racket? Yeah. Exercise will help raise testosterone levels in
women
men.
Too.
Yeah. Well, in women, it really just helps with better balance too. Yeah.
It really does.
It does.
And this little thing right now, let me say that Karen has been to the gym this morning
mm-hmm.
after probably tending to, I don't know, 5,000 people in the last 2 days. And then you went to the gym
mm-hmm.
and then you got a really cute haircut.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I've just got to get back on it. But and it'll help sleep. It'll yeah. help attitude. It'll help depression. It'll help. There's so many things that exercise.
Yeah, just
God
energy.
Wanted us to
mm-hmm.
move.
So what exercise do you like to do?
I like to dance. I like jazzercise and I like a Zumba and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When years ago when I did CrossFit and did all that, I like to lift. Mm-hmm. I really like to lift weights,
yeah.
but not recently.
Mm-hmm.
Recently I like to jam. And I like to dance with a bunch of fun women, not butthole women.
So how do you find that? It's like, do you interview everybody at the gym?
Yeah. Well, there's some really nice ones over at the Nubbin Ridge Presbyterian in the gym. But no, that I know that that's what people need to do is you find yeah. what you, because the things that used to set me on fire and I felt like $1 million doing, I don't want to do anymore. Uh-huh. I don't want a trainer that's 25 that's going to make me climb a wall.
Right.
I don't need that stress. You know what I mean? I don't need to, push a big, I don't even know what they call those things. I don't need to push a sled.
Or those tractor tires.
And I don't need to lift a tractor tire.
Yeah.
I need things that, you know, because yeah. I do feel like it stresses me out. But I like to hike. I like yeah. to be in nature. And we're yeah. in a beautiful area in East Tennessee.
Perfect place.
For that. Mm-hmm. But I like to walk with somebody fun, not a butthole. I like to walk and talk about fun things like fingernail polish, stuff like that. I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to talk about any of that. You know that I have not been able to read since I had my crash. So I don't want to get into something serious. But I like to walk and do. And I know that's yeah. the most important thing is what do you enjoy doing?
Yeah.
yeah. And I do like yoga and that kind of thing. I don't want to get in hot yoga. I don't mm-mm. want to get in 105 degrees
no.
and feel like an animal in a cage and I'm going to chew my arm off because I can't get out the door. I don't like that. I want to, but you love body pump.
Mm-hmm. I do little, combat.
What?
Mm-hmm. I do
like all kickboxing?
My aggression. Combat. Yeah.
How does your little frail arms knock a big bag.
Oh, why? It, combat is... Oh, I don't go near a bag.
Oh, you don't? What are you doing?
It's all just the motions.
Oh, the motions.
Yes.
So you you're not like having it. To... Oh, yeah, I would.
It takes out... Mm-mm.
So you're not hitting anything.
No, just air. Or just imaginary things and people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you're doing that and body pump and what else?
Step.
Step.
And yoga.
And you do yoga? Mm-hmm. How many times a week?
I try to do that once a week.
Okay.
I try.
I bet you could hold your little frail body up in a downward dog for a long time because look at you. Okay. All right. So we know that that helps everything.
Yes.
Okay. So you're on progesterone. You're talking about the things that you give people, DIM, milk thistle.
Progesterone, sometimes testosterone in perimenopause.
In perimenopause. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So before we go on to menopause, I want to take a little couple second break.
Okay.
A few seconds.
Okay.
A little break. And introduce you to some other podcasts that are being produced by Scruffy Audio Network.
Okay.
Because they may be something you really want to listen to. So we're gonna stick a couple of those in.
All and then right. we'll I'm going to empty my bladder.
Well, there you go. And do your Kegels. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is Troy and you are
Lee
from Why Would You Go There? And we want to tell you about the best podcast ever. Although this is going to be in the middle of other people's podcasts. So we maybe don't want to say that.
Okay.
I will also tell you the two funniest guys that you've ever heard.
So true.
Why Would You Go There? Podcasting about travel, and it's super enjoyable because we are hilarious. You have got to listen to us.
Do it. Yes.
Hey, it's Miranda with Talk Stranger, the podcast where we meet with strangers and we discuss subjects from paranormal to true crime to old story fairy tales to people who are blue that live in the mountains of Kentucky. It's weird. So look for us and listen to us wherever you can find a podcast, or don't. I mean, I don't care. Either or. It would be nice, but you don't have to.
We're back.
You are. Yeah, we are. You are. I am too. Surprise.
Okay. So we wanted to talk, we're talking about how you treat
menopause symptoms now.
Menopause symptoms. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've gone over progesterone, testosterone.
Milk thistle, DIM. Those are for perimenopause when we're still making estrogen.
Yeah. Okay.
So then menopause happens, or we call it menopause, when we stop making estrogen. And you have to make estrogen to have a period.
Okay.
So typically when we start going into menopause or we reach menopause, we've stopped having periods. And official definition of menopause is the absence of a period for a year. And usually in the presence of an elevated follicle stimulating hormone, FSH. When that's elevated, that is consistent with menopause because that message comes from your pituitary gland. And that's a hormone message that goes to your ovaries and says, hey, we need more estrogen. We need less estrogen. Whatever the message is. When the level goes high, it means that your brain, your pituitary gland is screaming at your ovaries saying, hey, we need more estrogen up here. Where's the estrogen?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear me about the estrogen? And the number keeps going up. So when the number's high, just think of that as your brain screaming at your ovaries for more estrogen. So absence of period for a year and high FSH. So when that happens, then we get a whole new set of symptoms. And that's where the stuck brain happens, the hot flashes, the night sweats, the joint pain, you know, the hair falling out, fatigue. The fatigue is a big one. You know, people just all of a sudden just have zero energy to do anything. They're anxious, they're depressed, they have low motivation, they can't sleep, they gain weight. And we were saying in a previous episode, those are all symptoms of depression too. So oftentimes, they'll get diagnosed with depression at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you replace estrogen, you're going to help with those symptoms. So say you say, like you, you've seen me and you've been in perimenopause and we've already put you on progesterone, testosterone.
Right.
And then you start getting some low estrogen symptoms. You stop having periods if you still have a uterus. Then we can add on some estrogen. And the same way with compounding, using compounded hormones, we can do a lot of different forms like creams and caps and troches and drops and vaginal creams. And then there's some manufactured options that like the estrogen patch. There is an which is estradiol, which is bioidentical, and an estradiol tablet, which again is bioidentical. There are estrogens like Premarin, which is a conjugated estrogen that is actually a horse estrogen. So it's a different molecule than the estrogen that you make. So, but that is available. And then we have some other synthetic estrogens that are out there too, that are manufactured. So by replacing the estrogen, we can help with all those symptoms. And it can, I had one person on Facebook ask, you know, if the systemic estrogen would help with vaginal dryness. And it can. What I would say, the difference between replacing estrogen for menopause and having a monthly cycle is that with menopause estrogen replacement, you're basically getting the same amount of estrogen every day. In a cycle, you're getting a big bath of estrogen one time during the month. The estrogen really spikes up.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, you know, everything gets nicely estrogenized. Everything's bathed in estrogen. And so because we're not getting that estrogen bath once a month, we can still have vaginal dryness, even if we've resolved most or all of our systemic symptoms. So sometimes we have to do some vaginal estrogen in addition to whatever else you're taking for the other symptoms. And we were talking about pellets last time as an mm-hmm. option, and you said you knew some people who have done pellets or went to Atlanta.
We went to Atlanta, somebody and everybody got in a car, made a girls trip out of it. I think somebody got drunk and left their purse somewhere and they got pellets put in.
Yeah, so some people do real well with pellet insertion. That's where we insert pellets under the skin, usually in the top part of the bottom area. And they usually do that every 3 to 4 months. I don't do pellet insertion, but there are several other practitioners in the area who do that. And certainly in other areas, other geographic areas, people do pellet insertion. And some people do fabulously well on that. They feel great. Of mm-hmm. course, I tend to see the pellet disasters, you know, the people who've had pellets and come in and, you know, they've got everything going wrong because it does raise the levels quite high of both testosterone and estrogen if you're getting both types of pellets. So anyway, but that is an option. Certainly.
Okay. I myself, to each his own, but I would, if I saw something sticking out of my skin, if I had to have it put, it would give me the willies.
Yeah.
And I just don't think I could do it. Also, you say that it can be you get a big dosage mm-hmm. of it, but then you can only get them how many months?
Yeah,
you know?
Every 3 or 4 months, yeah.
So then if it dips, then you're stuck. You can't do anything
right.
Until it's time again to get your pellets again.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what that would.
Yeah. So some people can feel real even, but, you know, sometimes when they're first inserted, we get this big spike of hormone levels and people don't feel, you know, or might have some hormone overload symptoms. And then And then in the middle of the time, they feel pretty well. And then when they're due for more pellets, they start becoming symptomatic again. So, and not to say that they are necessarily as bad as they were pre-pellet insertion, but they do start having symptoms again. And that's how you know when you need more pellets. So, that's a downside, is that you can't keep the symptoms controlled most or all the time. So.
Okay. I know we're getting close to our time, but... Yeah. Let me ask you, because you go around, you know me, I'm a talker. I get out, I'm telling people, I'm on hormones, I'm taking progesterone, little testosterone cream. And people go, oh my gosh, you don't need to be taking hormones. You'll get cancer like my Aunt Betty in 82. Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you tell people about, cause everybody's scared to death to take estrogen.
Yeah.
What you told me one time in the office about, and you know me, I'm in brain fog. I don't remember what you're saying. But you've got to have a little bit of estrogen. Mm. I don't know what you said. But anyway, about the cancer risk, all of that.
Yeah. Well, certainly nothing is risk-free, but ways that we can reduce our risk as much as possible, and I'm assuming you're talking about cancers of the female organs specifically.
I guess so, because when you're out and about and you're talking about hormones, people go, horse urine. Oh, you know, it's witchcraft.
Yeah.
Okay, can you talk about that?
Well, so clearly using the lowest dose possible to relieve your symptoms in terms of estrogen is ideal. And that's one upside to the use of compounded hormones, is you can customize the dose to the lowest dose possible to relieve your symptoms. Certainly balancing it with progesterone, which we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. it slows cell growth in the sex organs, keeping those two hormones really balanced. And then when I replace estrogen, I use typically two, sometimes three, all three of our estrogen forms. We have three types of estrogen in our body, and one of them is estriol, and it's a very weak estrogen, so it's not stimulatory like estradiol, and it can't convert into estradiol or estrone, which is another stimulatory estrogen. So when I replace estrogen, I use estriol and estradiol. And estriol, the weak estrogen, I usually use is a bigger portion of the estrogen than the estradiol. So 60, 70, 80% will be estriol, and the lower percentage is estradiol. So that can also help. Again, that book I mentioned earlier in the mm-hmm. episode, that John Lee's What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Breast Cancer, is very helpful if you really, really want to be informed about how, what hormones have effect on what tissue in our body.
Okay.
It's really, really
helpful.
And if
a woman says, I'm not doing any of it, I'm going rogue, I'm not doing any of it, I just am going to tough my way through it, what should she expect?
Well, that is absolutely an option. That's certainly an option. And I always tell women that's an option. Just things will happen without your hormones. You will lose bone density. Your cholesterol will likely go up. Your blood pressure will likely go up.
You might be bald.
You might be bald. You might be asking for wigs for Christmas, and and you might have all those other symptoms. So you might end up on a sleep medicine or antidepressant.
You might be able to let your grandchildren play in your stomach for fun.
Right, that's right.
And your butt. Because it's just mush.
Yeah, so it's going to be harder to lose weight. It's going to be harder to maintain a healthy physique for most women. Obviously there are some women who
just skip to the doodah day through it.
And they're just,
and I know those heifers.
Yeah, and I don't see those people usually.
You don't. So. Everybody's on their last leg when they get to you.
So, but I know that it does happen, and certainly that's A-okay if they feel well. And women who don't have estrogen definitely, and we see it in study after study, that they will tend to have more memory loss and dementia.
If they don't.
Because estrogen is very neuroprotective.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I know. That's why more women have dementia than men.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, so there are some things that are going to happen or likely to happen if you don't have hormones. But that is absolutely a choice that someone can and should make if that's what they're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And we'll be talking more about this in the future.
There's a
lot to talk about.
Okay.
So we will do that again in another episode. But we want to read a couple.
Oh, yes. we have had the sweetest people say the sweetest things about our podcast, and that makes us feel so good. I love y'all. I'm a 44-year-old mom of three, originally from Little Rock, Arkansas, but now live in Maryland with my Yankee husband from New Jersey. I called my mom and sister and both said, go listen to them now and don't do it while you're driving in the car because something, I don't know, you laugh so hard, I don't know, something that got cut off. But anyway, thank you for Miss and Dixie is what her name is. Do you want to read one?
Sure. This is from... one of our male listeners, which is pretty exciting. As a husband, father, having this source of information for me to better understand what my wife goes through or will go through as our marriage continues is invaluable. Having Leanne give her real-world experience and that balanced with solid medical insight makes this easily the most entertaining podcast.
Oh, and he goes by madder than a bag of ferrets.
Yeah,
there's a story there. I'd like to hear that.
That's right. And so we really appreciate your comments. That's very helpful and encouraging to us. And keep it coming.
I know.
And,
please
and tell all your friends about our podcast.
We'd
really appreciate that. I also want to, before we head out, I want to thank Forrest Wenzel, who wrote our theme music.
That I love.
That is an earworm for sure. and we love it. And if you want to hear more of his music, you can go to iTunes and search for his songs, one of which is Butterfly Girl, which is a fantastic piece. I'd love for you to hear it. Butterfly Girl, Forrest Wenzel. Check it out.
I know. God love him. He sits here and has to listen to me and my... dry vagina.
Yeah.
53-year-old woman. Oh, I hope he wants to marry and have children someday. I hope
know.
I don't ruin that
well,
for him.
I'll come after you if it did. And you're gonna go empty your bladder, right?
And we're gonna again.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.